History in the making.
What some would call history in the making.
Scary. Don't say that.
We have never been down 1,000 points ever, not even intraday on the NASDAQ.
Is that true?
That is true.
Okay. Down 6% right from the get-go. This is heavy, heavy, big tech. Here we go. Look at them go down. Microsoft is down $20. That's 5%. Alphabet, 5%. Meta, 6%.
You're all Amazon, going to die. 6%. That's what's going
Apple,
to happen.
9% down. Let's pull out Apple.
That's Barney, Stuart Barney. I like his manner of speaking there. You're all going to die is what's going to happen. You know, the economy's going to Hades in a handbasket. That's what's happening right now. Back to you. I like Stuart Varney, so don't snitch on me. We get along. He's great. I just like it's just very nice to have such a polite way of telling us we're all going to, you know, it's all going to crash and burn. It's super nice, isn't it, Kane? I mean, I know that I love to have, you know, those kind of vibes when I'm going to need more coffee. I'm going to need some, like, whiskey in it to get you guys started today. Really sorry about that, but it is. It's Monday. Hi, guys. All right. So I'm sure you've seen some things with the economy today. It's not going so great. Why are you laughing? I'm going to ease everybody into this. This is not right to be doing this to these people today. First off, welcome, friends. Welcome. Go ahead and pull up a beanbag chair on the sharing circle. Dana Lash with you. Top of this first hour on Monday, right? If you know the little TikTok videos. I'm not on TikTok, but I can't escape them. That you see, because Zoomer culture is we're going to repeat things like it's a cult chant repeatedly. And we're going to repeat it into the camera. And then they like say it over and over again. And what was it, like Gen Z slaying a hoop and all this other stuff. So the news cycle is market crash and dead bear cub. Market crash and dead bear cub. That's what we're looking at today. Yeah, you're welcome. I'm going to get to the dead bear cub. So the program you can watch everywhere. Rumble's where the discussion is. X everywhere. I'm not going to sit here. If you're watching, you know how. But Dana Lash with you. So the economy. It's Kamalanomics, which is so much more fun to say than Bidenomics. So can we change this? Kamalanomics, Kane, is where we're looking at. U.S. stocks open lower. Global markets plunged overnight. And the consumer boom, if ever there was one, is now beginning to falter, say the headlines. That's where it all is. It's it's not doing so well. Everyone's saying, is it a recession? Are you asking that? Like, are people actually asking if it's a recession? Because it is, right? I mean, that's, you should need to ask because that's where we're at right now. So that's where we are. That's where we are. Bad times. We're in that, you know, that meme that goes around that says good times create weak men, weak men create hard times create strong men create good times create weak men. Okay, we're in the weak men are creating hard times right now. This is where we're at. That's out of all of that, that's where we're standing right now. So the economy, if you've been following it all, you know, not great. And we're getting ready to go into an election. Well, we're in an election cycle. We're getting ready to, you know, I mean, it's wild to see because when we came out of the pandemic that we were taking some steps to kind of reclaim some of the strength there as it pertained to the economy. And now, I mean, this is just, nobody can buy a house, everything, butter's $7 or eggs are, it's crazy. It's crazy. And this is the fact that you have an MIA president. I don't even know what his schedule is today. And the Associated Press came out. This is all timed perfectly. Kamalanomics. The senior economics aides leaving the White House. He's going to be leaving the White House because it's more important for him to work on the Harris campaign. So he's going to go work on the Harris campaign, leaving the White House. That shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. So it is. There you go. I mean, you got the crypto collapse, you're looking at recession, the stock market's a mess, Japanese stocks were just crashing, biggest one-day drop since 1987. Biggest daily loss since 1987, worldwide fears of a U.S. economic slowdown. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, it seems like a crash. It's like a crash. And you're, I don't know. The messaging for Republicans seems like it should be super easy right now. But, you know, this is Republicans to lose. And they will. They'll do everything in their stupidity to do it. I mean, nobody's exempt from that. Nobody, including anyone's, you know, number one icon. It's all theirs to lose. So this should, the messaging from now, here and now on, should be about the economy. Economy, 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 economy. Because you had Kamala Harris just saying, when was this, like a week ago, that Bidenomics was working. They were proud of it. Yeah, it's Bidenomics was working. This was something that they were very, very proud of. Yeah, play this audio soundbite 17. They're very proud of this. Never forget this.
All that, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone else, that is called Bidenomics. That is called Bidenomics, and we are very proud of Bidenomics.
She had said, Bidenomics is working. And honestly, this is something that Republicans, this should be an ad. That should be an ad. They should be absolutely everywhere. They should be outside, and Republicans should be outside in the front of grocery stores. And they should be playing that on an iPad for everybody walking into the grocery store over and over again on loop. Bidenomics is working. Bidenomics is working. They should be doing that. They should be purchasing ads on the digital surfaces and all the grocery stores and everything, tickers, everything. Bidenomics is working. That's what Kamala Harris said. And by the way, excuse me, that audio was from 1 year ago, but she actually said that to a reporter a month ago. The jobs report for July that came out on Friday was so horrible. That's when you knew this was coming. You knew today was coming. The markets went into a full blown panic. And then, you know, with crypto, what did they said? How many trillions, Kane? It was $1.2 trillion were just vanished from the cryptocurrency market.
It's closer to two right now.
Past 24 hours. The fear index is the highest since 2020. Market panic reshapes political and policy outlook. And Bidenomics is working, though. That's what we were told. We were told that this was all going to be great. Oh, and you know whose problem it is if it's not great. Right? You guys know who's to blame if it's not great. You know, but it's great, though. We're told it's great. But just in case it's not great, it's apparently Trump's fault. Not kidding. That's what they've been. Well, I told you this. We played a little bit of it Friday. But they're really, the Harris campaign is full on saying that it's all Trump's responsibility. He cost our economy millions of jobs when he wasn't president. I'm sorry, what? Yeah, because he hasn't been in office for a full term, right? So Kane, he's like super powerful. I mean, can you imagine like being blamed for stuff that you didn't do when you weren't in office? That's power. Imagine that. Like you are blamed for something you didn't do when you weren't even in that position. It's like me blaming Kane for the, you know, horrendous opening at the Olympic Games. It's all your fault, Kane.
I didn't do that.
What did you do? What did you do? You ruined the Olympics because you did that with the fat blue Smurf and all that, the chonky Smurf, and you did all of that stuff. You did it, but I wasn't in it. Yeah, I know, but you know what? You did it. If this is going to be the new baseline, I am going to abuse this. I am at the point where I am in Absurdville right now. It's where I'm living. I'm going to be there. I'm going to stay here until November. So I'm just going to start blaming. If we can say, yeah, Trump is totally responsible for the things he didn't do when he wasn't in office. I mean, damn him. They said that he's brought us, I swear to you, her spokesperson, James Singer, went out with a straight face and said, he's bringing us to the brink of recession, Trump is. Kamala Harris, her spokesperson, said that Donald Trump is bringing us to the brink of recession. How? Am I missing something here?
Look, over the weekend, cut 14, Biden said he cured the economy. I don't understand how we're here today if Friday night he had the economy all cured.
Well, was it Biden or was it, you know, Biden? Which,
what?
The fake Biden.
I think
rubber suit Biden.
I think the first Biden is the fake Biden and the second Biden is the second
fake Biden.
See,
I don't know
Biden.
About that because sometimes I'm like, that could be fake Biden.
I think there's two fake Bidens.
There could be. There could very well be. Go ahead and play this. This is audio. Yeah, he did care. This was on, this is like what, Friday?
Yeah, Friday.
Yeah,
night.
Listen to this. This is perfect.
I'm over you. I've seen her so late. Sure, the economy.
When are you going to talk?
And the environment. And a few other small things.
And a few other small things. So he cured the economy and he cured the environment. I'm going to cure your mom. Wait, how do you cure the economy? Is this cured? You know that the meme where it's, is this nature healing? Is this the economy curing? I don't know. That seems really messed up. So she's proud of Bidenomics. They've cured it. Well, then what the hell happened, Joe? It got uncured in the past couple of days. Now it's uncured. Oh, my gosh. This is just so insane. Now, in the meantime, you know, you could have all of this going on. But I don't know. I tried to stay away from politics on the weekends. But I have some persistent friends who absolutely refuse to honor this code. And so I was getting texts over the weekend. Why is Trump going after Kemp in Georgia? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I was told that he was in the White House ruining the economy. Well, I don't know. I don't know how he has time to do that. If he's, you know, ruining the economy and bringing us to brink of recession, like Kamala Harris said, you know, imagine he's busy not doing things in the office he's not in right now. But he had a rally in Atlanta. I don't know why his campaign needs to stop every other distraction. This economy, and I hate saying it like this, but, you know, I want to win. This economy is the opening door. Absolutely, you need to just hammer. He needs to hammer this home. Every single thing out of his mouth from here in November should be about the economy. Every single thing needs to be about the economy. He needs to stop picking fights with a governor that has 63% approval rating and bested him in votes by 20. Stop. This is completely pointless. I don't understand how he gets so mad at like people like Brian Kemp. But, I mean, and I like that he and J.D. Vance are fine. I don't give a rat's ass. I don't care. But I mean, if you're going to hold a grudge over somebody, I'd hold a grudge over somebody to call me a Nazi more so than I would about somebody who disagreed with me about, you know, Republican policy. Just saying, this needs to stop. I don't want an ego to cost us an election. I want to win. Oh, my gosh. I want to tie his hands together. So he can't like be on True Social, or he can't add a little note in his speech. Just stop it. Just look at this. We are all drowning in an economic disaster. We have, and wait until you hear about this, because there's a book out that gets into exactly how much Biden loathes Kamala. We're going to talk about this. We're in such a precarious time. We got to talk about coming up falconry, dead bear, cubs, brainworms, all kinds of nutty stuff. We're going to get into all of that. We also have the latest on polling, Veep stakes, so much more you don't want to miss as we roll towards headlines.
Sponsors for this portion of our program, it's Black Raffle Coffee. Oh my gosh, you guys, they give so much brat.
Just drink the damn coffee. It's good coffee, right? And they have all these, they have like the best beans. They get the best beans from all over the world, and then they bring them to their facilities in Tennessee and Utah, and they roast them all throughout the week. Now, this is the only coffee that I will drink. Everything else tastes like sadness and disappointment. It's just awful. Everything else makes your life miserable. Black Rifle Coffee, though, it's affordable, and it's the best coffee you're going to get. Veteran-owned, they hire veterans and active duty, and they support veteran and first responder causes like equipment and health issues, all of that. Now, here's the cool thing. They got ground coffee, whole bean, K-cups, ready to drink. The best way to get it, though, is with the coffee club. So you pick out what roast you want, how often you would like to receive it, and it shows up with free shipping, refay, ipping shay, on your porch, and you never have to worry about running out of coffee, which is a horrible thing to realize that you've done in the morning. And you can get 20% off of products
using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com. And you'll also find on the website apparel and kettles and grinders, mugs and more. Everything you need for the perfect brew. So see it for yourself today, blackriflecoffee.com. Sign up for that coffee club and order some coffee today. Get 20% off with code Dana. 20% off using code Dana, blackriflecoffee.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A lousy job report has forced the Fed to reckon with a hard landing. Yeah, we get it. The economy's bad. What is everybody going to do about it instead of just talking about it? I see all these people with their suits and their pantsuits and their suit dresses up at D.C. all twiddling their fingers. What are you all going to do about it? They've been focused on inflation that we were told doesn't exist. So now the Wall Street Journal is like, yeah, well, inflation exists. They've been too busy dealing with inflation. They haven't been worried about the labor market because they've been dealing with inflation. You guys told us inflation wasn't a thing. So which is it? Golly, we need to make assault legal. That's what I'm telling you. I'm there, guys. I'm right there. Who's going to come for my vote on that? Massive New York City fire engulfed 7 homes, 11 firefighters amongst the 14 injured. This is from New York Post. They said that it began at 4 p.m. as a 2-story residence. There was a fire in New York. It's bad. It's sad. I'm sorry that people are injured. 3 civilians. I mean, it's now you got a hurricane that's barreling towards Florida. So you've got fire. You've got a hurricane, Hurricane Debbie. I can't think of that name without thinking of the Adams family. They said that some people lost everything in these fires. It's horrific. Let's see. This aircraft. There's Colorado wildfires. They're using a super scooper aircraft, deploying it to fight these Colorado fires. And these are actually crazy. These are the big giant airplanes that scoop up water and then they fly over and disperse it over the flames. But they said that they're trying to get the fires out as much as possible. This thing can pull 1,400 gallons in 10 seconds. That's crazy. That 1,400 gallons in 10 seconds. And it sounds like they're really quick. Then they drop it, go back, refill, do it over and over again. They said that they've been trying to work overtime to get these fires contained. And let's see here. I need a better headline. Oh, JFK Jr. admits that apparently there was a dead bear cub. We're going to talk about this. A dead bear cub incident in Central Park. This story is crazy. We're going to dive into it because I don't know. Like, are people trying to say that this makes he's not going to win? So why are people acting like this is a campaign ending event? This is I don't know. I hate politics. Stick with us. We got more in store. Patriot Mobile. The only Christian conservative cell phone service that you can have. Everything else is commie and satanic. Them devil phone services out there. I'm not actually joking. That's the crazy thing about today's world. I mean, you know, if you don't want your cell phone service supporting, you know, teaching genderqueer in elementary schools and you don't want your dollars to support gun control, then maybe you need to switch to Patriot Mobile today. I mean, they make it easy. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. Keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. The choice is yours. And when you switch, you're sending a message. Actually, you're going to be saving money and you're sending a message that you support your rights because that's one of the things that they help promote. And they put a lot of momentum behind like things like school board races in our area. They work with a lot of parents and they protect what you vote for. So you can get free activation using code Dana. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get a free month of service when you use offer code Dana. Don't get fooled by other providers pretending to share your values or having the same coverage. Switch to patriotmobile.com/Dana today or call 972-PATRIOT for your free month of service.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is a Trump country. We live in the Southeast. We drink sweet tea. We don't drink socialist Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Sweet tea. That's a dude at a rally in Atlanta. That's actually hysterical. It is true, because I don't drink sweet tea. I'll just drink regular tea. And if you're ever in the South, in Texas, you're like, oh, I just want some unsweet tea. I swear to you, I don't care how old they are. There's like a beat there. Like, there's something messes up in their head, like a record scratch. So did you say unsweet tea? You want unsweet tea? Then you're viewed as like you're suspicious. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. I don't know if you've seen some of the stuff that's happened. We're going to get to our stuff domestically, but I don't know if you've been seeing some of the things that have been happening like in the UK and in
Northern Ireland. This is wild. In the UK, there was, I'm sure you remember, the girls that had been, or the playground that was, it was a kid's birthday party, actually, that was attacked. There was a stabbing attack that took place. And it was a horrific, horrific scenario. There have been riots and protests and all kinds of stuff that have been happening there. And it was weird because, like, in one part of Northern Ireland, weren't there, like, either side standing next to each other in solidarity against some of the stuff? It's just wild what's been happening. They had, one of the places in Middlesbrough where they were calling them far-right mobs. Are they far-right mobs? I never trust the British press, their characterization of anything. But there were people, because there were apparently, I've seen stuff from the far left going through the streets. There were people from, I guess, that were against that. I mean, there were all kinds of there's been rioting since Friday. There's been rioting in Northern Ireland. There's been rioting in Wales. There's been rioting, interestingly enough, in Rotherham, which you can remember the giant sex grooming scandal where you had British Pakistani grooming gangs targeting very, very young girls for like over a decade. And I think the people have had enough of it all. I will say this, in watching some of these headlines with asylum seekers and all of this stuff over the years, it really does feel like the people who live in these areas in and around the UK and even in Northern Ireland, that they feel as though they're underrepresented and really taken for granted. And especially, on the heels of the Rotherham stuff, where nobody apparently did anything, which was just insane to me. That you had something that went on for that long. And so many young women were targeted, and it just seemed like the government really didn't do anything. People got wrist slaps, and people are mad because the immigration is out of control and welcoming in boats of asylum seekers. It's like, the same thing. That's how the press describes it. That's, the same thing as like what's been happening at our southern border. And people have been fed up. We've talked about the increase in assaults, the increase in rape and in murder, and women have been targeted. You had this guy who was the son of Rwandan immigrants who attacked these people at this Taylor Swift themed dance party. And then people were protesting, and those protests got out of control. There were people who were arrested. They were lighting the trash cans on fire. Riot police were trying to protect the community's mosque from locals who were outraged. And then all across, the UK, there were riots. And it's tragic to see this because the government created it. The government created this whole issue. And then the government refused to mitigate the problems created by this issue. And then when the people have had enough and they go out into the streets, then they're the ones who are castigated as being the source of all the problems. UK officials, If you're in the UK, if you said, you remember the young girl, she was on the autism spectrum, and remember she had said wasn't her grandmother like a lesbian or something, and she told this cop that this woman with short hair that she looked like a lesbian because she had short hair like her grandmother, and then the police showed up to arrest the girl. The girl was like 14 years old. They showed up to arrest the girl. So I'm using that as an example of the way that the UK government has gone after UK citizens for just the most trivial of offenses. The slightest things they are raked over the coals over. And then you have people who are coming into their country, some really illegally, and given a pass for it. And then they commit more crimes and they're given a pass for that. And so now people have been saying, well, you have a two-tier justice system in the United Kingdom. You have a two-tiered system here for people who are coming in illegally. You're giving them immediately the benefit of the doubt because you're redefining them as asylum seekers. Not everyone's seeking asylum. It's very similar to what's been happening and how the characterizations are being made at the southern border. So people are done. They're out in the street and they're rioting. And I, quite frankly, don't blame them. And I don't think that anyone else can, either at this point. This is crazy. This is what complete unchecked policy like this is what it creates. And then They're trying to blame the... I mean, I don't know if you've seen... They call them hooligans. But I don't know if you've seen the videos of the actual people protesting. They're young and old. Like, there are old ladies out here. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean, but they're like grannies out here protesting. They're done. They're done. Three little girls were killed. They're done. Riot police, you know, they're not able to contain them. When you combine, here's the thing about the United States, and here's the thing about assimilation, and everyone talks about it like it's a bad thing, but when you have completely disparate cultures, when you have complete, you know, cultures with very, very different customs and rules and etc., and you're forcing them all together on this tiny little island, what do you, and without, and then you're treating one group, you go after them for the most trivial of things, and then very publicly, it looks like those who commit serious crimes, if they fall into a certain demo, get a wrist slap. You are absolutely going to feed tension over this. You know, there's an issue here. Like in Germany, when they were bringing in people from Algeria, Northern Africa, different, you know, people who were fleeing, coming across the Mediterranean, going into whether it was Malta or going into Greece, and then being funneled up into the interior of the EU. And remember, this was like 5 or 6 years ago. There were several hundred, and they were all men, several hundred people that they were housing, like at a school in Germany. And there were a lot of security problems that were created, not just for the female volunteers and workers that were taking care of these asylum seekers there, but also for like nearby students and that. And remember, in Germany, they had to pass around a thing teaching dudes how to not rape. I know you all remember this. We talked about it on air. It went viral because they actually had a video of women explaining. They had these like government officials explaining like this is, you know, no unwanted touching and no this, like explaining to them like you would a dog, simple commands. And passing out leaflets and other printed literature so as to teach people, okay, well, you can't, unwanted touching is not acceptable. And, you know, just because a woman is out walking by herself doesn't mean that she is begging for your, you know, aggressive sexual attention, etc. The fact that that even had to be explained is insane. But again, so they're shocked that they're seeing some of this stuff. They're shocked that they're seeing rioting. You're going to continue to see this. And what else are people supposed to do? What else are, I mean, because clearly, and the government, again, is just, you know, it's course, it's all, they, you had, who is this guy, their new socialist leader, because the labor took over. I think this was, I dropped this in. This is their new PM over there. I think this, is this their new PM? This is one of the things that I had put in our audio channel. But they had the new prime minister over there who went after, you know, all of the people who were in the streets, said absolutely nothing about the murdered or those who had been attacked. Listen.
Be in no doubt, those that have participated in this violence will face the full force of the law. The police will be making arrests. Individuals will be held on remand. Charges will follow.
This is Keir Starmer. He's the new Prime Minister of Britain.
I guarantee you will regret taking part in this disorder, whether directly or those whipping up this action online and then running away themselves.
So he's the new Prime Minister of the UK, and very, very far left dude. He's with the Labour Party, and they're Marxists. I mean, they call them the Labour Party, but they're Marxist. So he's also the guy who's called for like a 11% tax, all this other stuff. Super far left dude. He immediately goes out. I interpret his remarks as adding fuel to the fire, because he's, you know, these people that are, first off, there was a small group. Again, you have some people are going to be violent, but I'm going to tell you something. When you have the government that continues to look the other way after all of these offenses against, you know, young girls and young women, you're going to get the men on the street kicking ass. That's exactly what's going to happen. And, you know, what are you going to do? The government created this situation, and they want to act like they don't, that they didn't do it. They want to act like they haven't. Just like with these economic policies here, I've got a couple of stories. Let me bring it back here domestically. I have a couple of stories, including one Let me pull this up. That gets into a book that was written by some of these. They used to be, well, they were with Politico. And it was a book, it was a couple of years ago, and it was written by the dudes who were the worked in the news bureau at Politico. And the book went into the Biden White House. And it was called This Will Not Pass. It was by Alec Burns and Jonathan Martin. It came out, Simon & Schuster in 22. The book gets into how Kamala Harris's performance, whenever she was like, well, there was one point where she was giving an interview with Lester Holt, and she was talking about the border. And when she was asked, well, why didn't you visit the border by Lester Holt? And she, it was kind of a softball question, but she fell all over it. And they said, apparently, the Biden people saw her performance as, quote, strange and disappointing. The book said, the exchange dominated American coverage of her visit to Central America. To Biden's staff, it was strange and disappointing turn for the VP. Holt's question had been entirely foreseeable, yet Harris had seemed totally thrown. Had her staff failed to prepare her, or was the vice president just a very uneven performer? And she always said, oh, it was I went down there to see the root causes of what was going on. But they said, apparently, Biden's people thought that she fell short. They thought that she was mismanaging everything. They thought that her Senate office was messy. Her presidential campaign had been a fiasco back in 2020. And they said that this was not the first time in her political career that she had fallen short of sky-high expectations. This is this book that was diving into Biden's real disappointment in Harris. And they said even, and they talk about Ron Klain, who was Biden's White House chief of staff. And Ron Klain apparently was of the position that Kamala Harris didn't do enough on immigration or didn't even show that she was doing anything on immigration. And it said, quote, even Klain understood that something was not working. He told Harris in the fall that she had erred by holding her Latin American assignment at arm's length. Yes, he acknowledged it was a politically delicate portfolio, but there had been an opportunity there for her to take full ownership of something, sink into policy details, and produce results. And they said that the president had known many of her shortcomings when he chose her to be his running mate, but he was viewing questioning of that, of his decision, to be like questioning of his judgment. And he was too egotistical to admit that, oh my gosh, this is a horrible pick for me. He was too egotistical to acknowledge that. So this is interesting that this is, you know, really being pushed now. I keep seeing some of like these references being pushed now on the left. I don't know. It's just very, very odd. But there, we're going to talk here coming up. We got some polling and we got to talk about the Harris honeymoon. And what the GOP and Trump are going to have to do, because you have the media all in to make her a thing. And her VP pick is going to, that's going to be a make or break. I've never seen a VP pick so instrumental to a presidential campaign before, but it is with hers. We're going to dive into all of that and more as we roll towards headlines. And as we do so, or no, sorry, Days of These United States, our partners, good people who help bring you like free radio so you don't have to pay a subscription fee. They're very nice like that. And of course, those folks are the good people over at ReadyWise. ReadyWise wants to make sure that you're prepared in case something, heaven forbid, goes sideways. Because, look, I'm going to tell you, if you know there's a natural disaster or, heaven forbid, a political disaster, and you have to worry about feeding your family, good luck. Because the store shelves are going to be stripped. It's going to be total chaos. You're going to have power outages. And it's going to be real sketchy. So you want to make sure that you are prepared for any situation and that, you know, you don't have, this is one thing that you do not have to worry about. And it keeps for 25 years. So that's not a concern either, because all their food, and that's the other thing, it's all U.S. ingredients. So you know the chain of command from start to finish. So all U.S. ingredients, it's packed in a state-of-the-art U.S. plant, shipped out from this plant, freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare, just add water. They have two offers for you. So you can use promo code DANA20 at checkout and get 20% off of any regularly priced item at ReadyWise.com. And you can also check out their 72-hour food kit. It's a buy one, get one, $100 value for $50. And that includes two big boxes that have all of these delicious premium entrees, drinks. I mean, you're looking at like over 11,000 total calories in each kit. And so that's going to be sustaining for you. It's going to help keep your energy levels up. It's going to help you, you know, with all of that. Because you're going to, those are things you got to think about when, you know, heaven forbid you're in a situation like that would require. Visit ReadyWise.com. And again, take advantage of these two offers. The 20% off of any regularly priced item using code DANA
and the buy one, get one 72-hour food kit. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
See now is that some want to own the definition of who is a woman. And there I can only invite them to come up with a scientific-based, a new definition of who is a woman. And how can somebody being born, raised, competed, and having a passport as a woman cannot be considered a woman? If they are coming up with something, we are ready to listen. We are ready to look into it. But we will not take part in a politically motivated, sometimes politically motivated, cultural war.
Well, it's not a cultural war. It's a very real penalty at the expense of women in competition. Welcome back to the program, Dana Loesch, with you. That's the IOC president, Thomas Bach, who's slamming the speech over these boxers because, and the one that he's talking about is the Algerian boxer, who they say, oh, well, you know, it's he's actually, you know, he's a woman. He's got but XY chromosomes. He's a man. You can be intersex. But here's the thing. The rules in place are to protect women, not the exception. That's why the rules are in place. You know, it's not all of the other women's fault that an individual has a ridiculously insane advantage that actually got them kicked out of other competitions. XY chromosomes dictate male or female. So you can have some, and we don't even know, that's just taking their word for it, by the way. Nobody actually knows. It's just that it's what they say, and so you're supposed to take their word for it, which I don't. And I don't think that anybody would disagree with me on that. You had the one from the fighter from Algeria, and then you have the fighter who is from Taiwan, and this who was also apparently a male, both in the boxing program. And of course, they both aren't they supposed to fight each other? Something like that?
No, I think so.
We're going to talk more about this coming up because when you know these rules are in place to protect women, not for the exception, and it's, I think it's hate speech to suggest otherwise. Stick with us. Second hour on the way. The folks over at Kel-Tec, the P15, if you don't have it, you should. Why don't you have it? I mean, ask yourself that. Every time somebody talks about gun control, I kind of want to go out and get a new gun. And you can do the same thing. And if you don't have the P15, look, I just gave you justification. So you can be like, no, I need it because, you know, I'm fighting gun control. Kel-Tec is a great company based in Florida. The all-American dream. I love the story, but I love what they make as well, just as much, if not more, really. The P15, awesome 9mm striker fire pistol. You have the polymer version, which has texture grip. Awesome. You have the wood version, metal version, which has the wood paneled textured grips. It looks like a James Bond gun. It's really cool. It's very classy looking. That's a classy looking gun. You have the tritium and fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic, 2-dot rear, striker fire reliability, great trigger pull, and you got a lifetime warranty as well. It's compact and ideal for concealed carry. It's from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. So you have to check it out. Concealable, dependable firepower from Kel-Tec. Learn more about the P15 at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you and check out the P15 today.
It is wrong to somehow suggest that an undocumented immigrant is a criminal.
Being an undocumented immigrant is not a crime.
I know what a crime looks like. An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal.
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 An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal, and we have to correct course in this conversation.
We're not going to treat people who are undocumented across the border as criminals.
Oh my gosh, and you know what? A person with an undocumented purchase from a store isn't a thief either. You know, drug dealers are just undocumented pharmacists. Let's be real. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. The top of the second hour on a Monday, getting you set up for the day. And make sure you go find us over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. A lot of good stuff up there as well. So this is some flashback stuff that's coming out about her now. Well, we've all known this, but you realize how many times she said this? I thought that Unburdened by What Has Been was the big thing. But no, it's maybe this. An undocumented immigrant is not a criminal. So, like I said, a person with an undocumented purchase from a store isn't a thief. Drug dealers are just unlicensed pharmacists, undocumented pharmacists. My, you know, then that means I can get, you know, an NFA item and just have an undocumented NFA item. That's not a crime, right? I mean, hell, I'm all for going with this. Oh, let's do this. Please, please. Some of us work really, really hard to live our lives by the good book, but let's be honest, some of us walk the line because there are laws that say you have to. And I'm just saying, don't be bending those rules for those people. Don't. So this, a lot of stuff to hit because everything's popping off. Kane and I, what did you say to me at the start of the show about Lockheed?
Oh yeah, over the past month, we've seen an increase on Lockheed Martin's stock price, while we just recently saw the entire market, NASDAQ, Dow, the rest of it, taking a nice 10% haircut. So when the defense contractors seem to be making all the money and the regular market seems to be selling off, that usually means there's conflict happening worldwide.
A little bit. Yeah. So I was looking at this, a couple of headlines out about this. Like, we're sending what? Increasing our show of force in the Middle East. We've deployed some ships and fighter jets. And I think that's a lot more so with regards to Israel and Iran. We've got what? There's some more war. Stars and Stripes said that they're sending more warships and additional fighter squadron out there.
I mean, just add that to the hundreds of billions we've been giving Ukraine over the past.
Well, no, this
years.
Is us sending our stuff out there.
Right.
I mean, we're not giving this. This is just us, you know, going out there. And Iran's leaders had vowed to retaliate. They said that they were going to retaliate against Israel hitting back at them after they had funded all the people attacking Israel all this whole time. That's really the Jimmy Carter's responsible for all of that in Iran. He is responsible for every bit of it. And everybody should remember that. So Iran, apparently there were some efforts over the past few days for Iran to temper its response after Hamas's political leader got murked. And they were looking at the security breaches that led to all of this. But they apparently it's not, you know, the Iranian leaders, they vowed to retaliate. They keep saying they're going to retaliate. This has been Israel did not just decide that they were going to just kick off rockets and target Iran randomly. Let's revisit again what led to this. Hezbollah carried out numerous strikes, and they Golan Heights, you had a bunch of Israeli children playing on a soccer field that were killed. The rockets showed they were absolutely without any debate provided by Iran. That's it. Now they just launched off strikes that killed innocents. Israel launched two precision hits. These strikes, remember what I was telling you about on Friday? One of the strikes only literally detonated in one room, in one building, and it didn't even bother the room of the other terrorist that was next door. Way big difference. And so this idea, I mean, you've got Iran funding northern and southern attacks with Hamas and Hezbollah. So this is not just something that they decided to do again, out, you know, randomly. They are not the aggressor here. They're defending themselves. But any attempt that Israel makes to defend itself is always described by the people who attack them as, oh, well, they're the aggressor. So now we're sending warships and additional fighter squadron to the Middle East to bolster our defenses and kind of, you know, show that, well, I guess, you know, we got a presence here. Lloyd Austin ordered Navy destroyers and cruisers to bolster protection and increase our readiness to deploy any kind of additional land-based ballistic missile defense. And it's a USS Abraham Lincoln aircraft carrier strike group. The whole strike group's being moved to the Middle East to maintain a carrier strike group presence. That's going to replace, because the USS Theodore Roosevelt's the strike group that's out there right now. It's coming towards the end of its deployment. So the USS Abraham Lincoln's replacing the Roosevelt carrier strike group. And so we're bolstering a little bit. We're not sending like two groups. One group's coming back. And so... we've had a consistent warship presence there, and now we're going to have additional ballistic missile defense capable cruisers. And this is what Biden had said in a call to Netanyahu, that there would be new military deployments to protect against possible attacks from ballistic missiles, etc. They don't want to escalate. I mean, clearly there are some people, at least in D.C., that are worried about escalation, but if they were to stop attacking, this would be over. They don't want to stop attacking, thus it's not over. I mean, there's no more simple way to put it. But while all this is happening, the economy worldwide is getting just beaten to death. Here in the U.S., people are finally acknowledging that, I mean, we are in a recession. This is not, well, are we in a recession? Are we going to go into a recession? We are in a recession. The end. And in an election cycle where the Republican Party needs to focus entirely on the economy, hit the things that you're good at. Oh my gosh, I'm just about, look, if Republicans lose this, if Republicans lose in November, it will be because they lost it themselves. There are too many things at stake here. Now, some of the polling, I mean, she's kind of had, after switching out from Biden to Harris, there's been a bit of a Kamala honeymoon, sort of, but it's kind of short-lived. Did you guys see some of the stuff that was over the weekend real quick related to Harris? So her husband, Doug Emhoff, admits he cheated with a nanny on his first wife. He got his nanny pregnant. He slept around on his wife with his nanny. His nanny got pregnant. This was like 15 years ago. His daughter was 10, and it was with the nanny for their older kids. Apparently, she did not keep the baby, but nobody knows what that means, per the Washington Times. He released a statement immediately after CNN reported it. He said, quote, during my first marriage, Kirsten and I went through some tough times on account of my actions. I took responsibility in the years since. You know, we worked through things as a family. We've come out on the other side, et cetera. I mean, that tracks, doesn't it, Kane? Mm-hmm. You know, it tracks. That tracks. So I don't think that that's going to matter at all to Democrat voters. It's weird that it came out from CNN, but I don't think it's going to matter at all with them. I really don't. A couple of things to be aware of, too, as it relates to some of the polling. I mean, it's still close, and she's got to pick her VP. A lot of people were saying that, well, you know, Veep stakes, it looks like it, you know, I think it's going to be, and I think her smartest pick would be Josh Shapiro. John Fetterman, though, has concerns. He apparently, according to Politico, told Harris's team that he thought that Shapiro was more about his own personal ambition than for the nation. Aren't most of these people in politics like that? I can't tell you the number of people that I meet who are like, yes, I'm all about for the country. And it's about themselves. It's about themselves. They'll make a pack and then they'll take a check off it. You know, they'll create a group and they'll cash a check off it. You know, and it's off advocacy. They pay themselves and then they do this advocacy and then they end up not really actually moving the needle a whole hell of a lot. I don't know. It's like it's the nature of the game. That's why, you know, it stuck out to me a little bit that Fetterman is accusing Josh Shapiro of excessively focusing, per Politico, on his own personal ambitions. Now, some of this comes down to apparently like a rivalry between them. Shapiro and Fetterman don't get along, have never really gotten along. So maybe that, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's why it's coming into play. Are any of them good, though? Do you think any of them? Is there a single VP pick that she can make that does not have personal ambition? Come on. I don't think so. So Mark Kelly was one of them. And apparently over the weekend, there were a lot of people accidentally posting stuff over the weekend. And he was one of them. He posted a tweet that he later deleted. It said, my background is a bit different than most politicians. And he's like, you know, my mission now is serving Arizonans. He posted a tweet and he deleted it. And it sounded like MSNBC reported on it. And they said, oh, he deleted his post. And it sounded like he was no longer in the running mate race. Because he had said, you know, I spent my life serving at NASA and the Navy. Mission is always first. Now my mission is serving Arizonans. Well, that's kind of a tweet that you would make if you're not running for VP, right? And so people were saying, oh my gosh, I guess he took himself out of the race. Well, then he tweeted, quote, whether it was from my time in the Navy at NASA, serving in the Senate, visiting troops overseas, I've learned that when your country asks you to serve, you always answer the call. So now, like, people are wondering, okay, he deleted the first one. Is this now, I mean, it's not your country asking you to call. It's a very flawed, ridiculous candidate that's asking you to be the landmine on her ticket. So let's not, like, make it into something that it's not. I don't know. It's interesting. I think Mark Kelly would be a bad pick. He's got a lot of baggage, and he's a senator. I think you're going to have a governor with somebody like her. We're going to talk about this more as we roll towards headlines. Our partners, because everything's probably going to go to AG double hockey sticks. Anyway, that's why November's important is Gold Co. Look, you work your entire life, and you save. You do the responsible thing, and you save. So why is it that government's irresponsibility can put everything that you've worked for into jeopardy? So this is why you need to diversify and protect your savings with Gold Co. It is a top-rated company with thousands of five-star reviews and a perfect rating from the Better Business Bureau. And they've helped people like you and me place over $3.5 billion in gold and silver. They have a special one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers that explains to you the entire economy of it, how gold IRAs work, the whole nine yards. And anything, any question you want to ask them, you can find out. You can ask them. They'll walk you through it. No pressure. They're all about transparency. And this is a very important part of your overall retirement and savings strategy. So diversify today. Visit DanaLikesGold.com. Learn how you can get started. And you'll get a complimentary wealth protection kit. So that's going to arm you with the facts about precious metals. Visit DanaLikesGold.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I'm like also cool if we just want to karaoke some Outkast. You know, Big Boy follows me on Twitter, and I think it's a gun stuff, but I'm just saying. All right, so apparently there's a new anti-aging drug that could increase your lifespan. And all the celebrities are taking it. Great. All the annoying people are going to live longer and be more annoying longer. Yay. They said that it's everything. I'm so tired of the phrase holy grail. Not everything is a holy grail. You can't even go on Sephora and look at reviews of stuff because you have stupid brain dead, miles wide, inches deep, shallow ass influencers who are like, oh my gosh, this is my holy grail product. No, it's not. So anyway, it's called NAD. Of course it is. It's a molecule that's produced naturally in the body. It's sold in pill, liquid, and IV form. And everybody from like the Bebbers, the Jaraga, the Kardashians are all dead. And they say it helps you feel energized, youthful, and healthy. Why does this sound like an ad? An ad for NAD. It's a NAD ad. NAD ad. Vatican broke silence on the controversial Paris Olympics. Oh, they did finally now, huh? Good for them. Look at that. They finally said something a week later. 1 week later. Vatican broke their silence on the Last Supper drag performance. The Pope apparently said that the Holy See was saddened by certain scenes at the opening of the Paris Olympic Games and cannot but join the voices raised in recent days to deplore the offense done to many Christians and believers of other religions. Again, it's that Chonky Smurf, man. It's Chonky Smurf. We had a whole thing about this. So apparently from vacations to so-so jobs, now MS the media saying it's time to embrace being average. This is the most anti-American thing I've ever read in my life. They call it's embrace the joy of being average. What? Now, oh no, but Dana, this sounds like a do-gooder, feel-good story, right? Because it talks about this person's totally anecdotal friend of hers. And they're working like a four-day work week and blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, she's the laws of capitalism say we have to be on the move, work hard, play hard, rinse, repeat. And we're supposed to be the best and smartest out there. But maybe like being average is good. No. This is Marxist tripe that wants to lull you in to a sense of mediocrity. And so then they're going to backpat you and tell you that it's totally fine to be mediocre. But no, that's not for you. This sounds like a Seuss book now, but it's not. This country was made because we were above average. And that's one thing that Americans have that unites us all. I don't care where you come from. Everybody wants to be above average. And everyone knows that you're an American. No matter what you look like or where you came from, you're an American when you want to be above average. So I'm just saying, this like the tiny house thing, is some Marxist tripe. It's a Marxist psyop. All the fingers, double barrel fingers for being average. No, we're not doing that. I'm going to come back to this. All right, so officials monitoring a dead whale. Oh, really? I mean, nothing else is happening today. Off the coast of southern Maine, there's a dead whale. I think I saw this in the opening ceremony of the Olympics at the table. It's a dead humpback whale off of Wells. It's the third dead whale that's been found off the coast of southern Maine in the past 2 months. It was floating 2 miles off the coast. Very important. It's apparently it's an adult female that was named Lollipop Kane. Lollipop, the dead humpback whale. And what do you do with it? It's a dead whale that's floating 2 miles. Would you get a boat out there and watch it?
Don't blow it up.
Is there a reason why you got a boat out there and watch it? It's a dead whale, right? Like, I don't. Is there something I'm missing? Stick with us. We got a lot more in store. Burn a gun. Now look, oh, I get it. I'm right with you. I'd love to be able to take my 9mm and, you know, everything I have, a full armory everywhere I go. It'd be great. But we have gun-free zones and we have, you know, some states aren't as friendly or don't pay attention to reciprocity as they should. And, I don't want to be left defenseless. You know, I was telling you about, I have a friend who lives and works in D.C. and she got her very difficult to get concealed carry there. But by nature of how she has to work to make a living, she has to live and work in D.C. And so when she goes into places that have their stupid do nothing gun-free zone signs, she carries a Byrna gun. She actually got it just like a couple of months ago. It's the Byrna SD is the model she chose, and it's the most popular model that they have. It is a non-firearm firearm that gives a one-finger salute to the gun-free zone signs. There's no waiting period. There's no background check. It's legal in all 50 states, and it shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. Now, there's a ton of different models, and they have different colors and different projectiles and accessories. You can go and customize it however you see fit, but it's always good to have diverse options and make sure that you are covered every which way for any kind of situation. And so you can visit Byrna.com/Dana and you can get 10% off of your purchase. Check out all of your options at Byrna.com, Byrna/Dana.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was taking a group of people falconing up in Goshen, New York, up in the Hudson Valley, and I was supposed to meet them there at like maybe 8 or 9. I was driving up maybe, you know, really early, like 7, and that woman in a van in front of me hit a bear and killed it, a young bear. So I pulled over and I picked up the bear and put him in the back of my van because I was going to skin the bear. And it was very good condition, and I was gonna and put the meat in my refrigerator. And you can do that in New York City. You can get a bear tag for a roadkill bear. And so then we went hawking, and I had the bear in my car. And then we had a really good day, and we went late. We were catching a lot of game, and the people really loved it, so we stayed late. And instead of going back to my home in Westchester, I had to go right to the city because there was a dinner at Peter Luger's Steakhouse. And at the end of the dinner, it went late, and I realized I couldn't go home. I had to go to the airport. And the bear was in my car, and I didn't want to leave the bear in the car because that would have been bad. So then I thought, you know, at that time, This was the little bit of the redneck in me. There'd been series of bicycle accidents in New York. They had just put in the bike lanes. And a couple of people had gotten killed, and it was every day, and people had gotten badly injured.
Because he's a redneck.
Every day it was in the press.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I wasn't drinking, of course, but people were drinking with me who thought this was a good idea. And I said, I had an old bike in my car that somebody had asked me to get rid of it. I said, let's go put the bear in Central Park and we'll make it look like he got hit by a bike.
Oh my gosh. So, this is why you should never go falconing. Guys, it's a Kennedy saying that he's a redneck. I am spent. I am spent. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Where the hell are we? Second hour. Are we on Mars? What time? Yeah. Good night. It's back with you here. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this second hour. So that was So apparently RFK Jr., a story was... I'm trying to get you to understand the chain of events for this. There was a story. Somebody found out that he was with a bear in Central Park, and they were going to come out with a story about him being with a bear in Central Park. So he decided to get ahead of the story, Kane. Is that how this went? And then he told it like this, and then that's...
Yes.
Why?
Yep.
Did he go falconing?
I
have no reason to disbelieve him.
This is like a cutscene from The Royal Tenenbaums. You know, and the redneck in me. Oh my gosh, you're a Kennedy. Stop it. Oh my gosh, what is it? Oh my gosh, I can't. I know some of you like him. I don't care. I'm just laughing at the craziness of this whole situation. So it's a weird thing. I mean, and the story, okay, this is where it gets crazier. So the reporter with the New York Times, who is coming out with a story, was his own cousin. It's JFK's daughter's daughter. So Caroline Kennedy's daughter, apparently, because they all work in the press or run for office, that's all they can do. So I don't know. She said that she had no idea her own family was involved in the story. You had no idea that RFK Jr. was your cousin and he was involved in this? What? Okay, sure. But how random is it? I mean, if you told me, Dana, I want you to come up with a scenario that involves Roseanne Barr and JFK falconing a dead bear cub, the Luger Steakhouse, I don't think I could. I don't think I could do that. That sounded like a Mad Lib thing. They were playing Mad Libs. I don't know how else to say it. So he was going to and nobody in the media knows how to talk about falconry outings. What in the blue blood hell is that? Kane, would you like to pass some Grey Poupon while we go on our falconry outing? But he was like, oh, I was going to skin the bear and put the meat in my freezer. Do you really believe that he wanted the meat or did he want a bear rug? Oh. I'm just saying. But it showed, like, there's a picture of him with it. Like, he's got a picture, and it shows it's this little bear, and he's pretending that it's biting him. And is that where the brain worm came from?
It's quite possible. But I was thinking, like, let's look at the worst possible version of this story.
Is there a worst possible version? I just think it's weird. I'm not making fun of it. I'm not saying it's worse, bad, or good. I just think it is hysterically bizarre. I am endlessly entertained by this story. Kane, it is literally a Mad Libs exercise.
Yeah.
Like, again, like the whole Zoomer thing with TikTok. It's market crash and a dead bear cub. Market crash and a dead bear cub.
But
market crash and a dead bear cub. That's a news cycle.
I just don't understand, like, even the worst part of the story. Let's just take everything that RFK Jr. said at face value, and that's 100% true. So what?
I love it how he goes, because the New Yorker was going to break the story, apparently. And he put it out going, looking forward to seeing how you spin this one, New Yorker. And the New Yorker was probably like, what in the world?
The story worse than what we reported it as.
I mean, do you? I don't care. I mean, it happened. You know, right. this broad hit a bear with her car. I mean, you know, happens. You can get. I think it's weird that you have to go ask the state. Can I have this dead animal? Can I pay a tax and get a tag for this dead animal? Can I do that? I mean, it's dead. It was on. You know, I guess maybe they don't want people randomly hitting animals and being like, you know, finders keepers. You know, dibs. I don't know.
It's the redneck in them.
Yeah, I operate on the dibs system. It's true, though.
Dibs!
Uh-oh, somebody hit a bear. Robert Kennedy emerges from the woods. I'm a redneck. Dibs! Yeah, there we are. And scene. So, yeah, falconry. That's why you shouldn't do it. When he was asked about the incident, he literally said, quote, maybe that's where I got my brain worm.
I was just joking off air about that. Seriously?
You know, when I hear brain worm, I think of that, The Corpse Bride, Tim Burton's The Corpse Bride, and that little worm that has a Spanish accent that comes out. I'm like, why does the worm have a Spanish accent and you don't? Like, it's weird. Okay, anyway. So yeah, dead bear cubs, falconry, drugs, cyclists. This is like a... Did not have this on my bingo card at all. None of this.
Glad he didn't choose to just blow up the bear.
Yeah, so that's it. Can I do one more quick little aside, and then will you guys bear with me for a moment? And then we're going to get back to meat and potatoes, because the news cycle is so horrific. We got to clear our palate. I make fun, so much fun, of people who try to ruin the English language. Like, instead of saying converse, they'll say conversate, which is not a word. Right? I just can't deal with it. So I realized, are we the baddies? Are we? And here's why. Let me, in as a hat tip to RFK's crazy conversation, Kane found a video that I'd never seen before of somebody blowing up a dead whale. I don't know where this is going. And I wanted to point out that their logic about not wanting to have a giant rotting whale carcass on the beach for animals to scavenge at, was it made better by blowing it up into millions of pieces that animals could scavenge in a 14-mile area?
It's a lesson only hindsight can teach.
Okay, apparently. But there was one part of the video that froze me in my tracks. And it's like just a couple seconds. Juan, I think you have this ready to go. Just one part of the video. It just stopped me right in my tracks as it pertained to language. Just listen real quick.
Confident that it'll work. The only thing is, we're not sure just exactly how much explosives it'll take to disintegrate this thing. So the scavengers,
this is way early. We need to go way back. I think I actually have it.
About 75 bystanders.
All right, yeah, get it. Just play. It's only like 6 seconds.
The whale
just go ahead.
An object of curiosity before they tired of its smell.
And then Kane, do yours.
The situation suddenly gave way to a run for survival as huge chunks of whale blubber fell everywhere. Pieces of meat passed high over our heads while others were falling at our feet.
I have it here. It's basically where he says,
our camera stopped rolling immediately.
Okay, well, hell's bells. I thought you guys had this. You guys were playing it like right after each other, and it was perfect. The guy says whale at one point. Whale. And I'm like, wait, what? Because he said, it was at the end of the video, whale.
The passenger compartment literally smashed. Fortunately, no human was hit as badly as the car. However, everyone on the scene was covered with small particles of dead whale.
Whale. Okay, I'm watching this whole video, and I stop in my tracks at whale. Because I'm like, what in the world have we been saying, if not whale? We've been saying whale, right? Like
right.
Dead whale.
Right.
Like whale, whaling, whalers, whales.
Yeah, like
I don't know.
W-A-I-L.
Yeah. Whale. Like one would say wheat.
Cool. Whip.
Whip.
Cool.
Oh my gosh, Kane, we've been
saying it wrong.
We've been murdering the English language. We've not been saying wh-. So I'm gonna over enunciate the L out of all WH from now on. Like, whore. Well,
who would want that?
Who would want that? Whale. So I don't know. That fascinated me. It's the little things in life, guys. Come on. The economy is circling. The, you know what? We're sending more stuff over to the Middle East. We got a crazy election cycle. And Harris is going to get a bump because she's going to pick a VP. Let me have this moment. And my glasses are weird today. All right. So this is what we got on deck. We got Florida Man on the way. But also, we've got a few other things because I do have polling to dive into. Georgia, Arizona. Arizona is a battleground. We're going to have to have this conversation. We got to talk about Arizona. We're also going to get into some more bread, maybe one little aspect of Bread and Circus 2024, because I'm hearing from all of you that you were not even watching it. So we're going to touch on that. The debate. So Kamala Harris now says she won't debate, but this was after she threw down the gauntlet and dared Trump to debate. Wait, what? We're going to discuss this. So we've got all of this and a lot more. Latest with the economy and 2024 and everything else. So we got a lot still on deck, and Stephen Yates is going to be joining us. Turbocharging your metabolism has never been simpler thanks to the innovative handheld metabolic coach Lumen. This revolutionary device empowers you to optimize your metabolism efficiently and effortlessly. And with Lumen, you can master the strategies to keep your metabolism humming at its best. Now, Lumen is a breath-based metabolic tracker. You breathe into the Lumen at the start of your day to get a metabolism snapshot and a personalized nutrition plan. And then the app tells you if you're burning fat or carbs. You can get customized tips for nutrition, workouts, sleep, stress. Lumen helps you to know with real data what your body needs. Now, your metabolism is your body's rocket engine. It powers everything that you do. And with Lumen, you can expect easier weight management, balanced energy, fitness gains, and find it easier to go to sleep. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, visit lumen.me/Dana Show and get 15% off of your Lumen. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. One word for 15% off your purchase. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. And thanks to Lumen for sponsoring this episode.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So we got Hurricane Debbie ripping through 10 U.S. states after making landfall in Florida. Hurricane Debbie, the first fatality, sadly, a 13-year-old boy, the weather system ripping through 10 states. More than 220,000 homes left without power Monday. 80-mile-per-hour Cat 1 made landfall in the Big Bend area of Florida. So went floated over Tampa. Just goodness. And it looks like it's going to hit through, going through there, Florida, go towards, it's going through 10 states. It's not going to be a hurricane going through all 10 states. They kind of make that sound really misleading, don't they? I'm like, that's not, it's going through Georgia and the Carolinas and Virginia, not as a hurricane. It's going to be a storm after that because it's not going to stay a Cat 1. But the 13-year-old fatality is sad. They said that projections predict the storm system also will hit Maryland, Delaware, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, and Massachusetts through the rest of the week up until Saturday. So keep that in mind, too, for any of your travel plans. Also, this Florida dude lassoed a gator, and he got in trouble, according to deputies. A Florida man is accused of lassoing up a gator and tying him to a pole and then calling 911, claiming to have found the reptile that way. He faces a felony charge of injuring a gator without authority. Wait, what? It was a July 31st incident, according to the affidavit. But I didn't know injuring a gator without authority. What if it's like coming at you and you're about to get murked? Right. Can you then? I'm just curious. Can you then? The guy's elderly, too. It was a 9-foot gator. He tethered it to a pole. And it had a rope around its mouth. It was in Cape Canaveral. And he goes, well, if I he said that maybe I could catch it, and keep it there, and that'll help him out. But the Brevard County Sheriff's Office got involved, and they said the guy was Robert Collins, 71 years old, was the guy responsible. He used a clothesline. He lassoed its jaw. But they said, there's apparently a surveillance video that showed that he was the one doing it. And they said, you're not allowed to remove a gator. Oh, I'm just curious. What if it is, though, like a nuisance gator? What if it's like threatening you or coming at you or like trying to eat your animals or something? I don't know. I'm just, you know, there's reasons. A Florida man in an American flag Speedo was seen in the live shot of a news report during Hurricane Debbie doing a belly flop in the background. This is a riot. It happened with Bay News 9 reporter Jason Lanning. He was giving an update from the Crystal River, an hour or so north of Tampa, and a shirtless man in the background wearing an American flag Speedo ran off of the pier and belly flopped into the river. It's actually kind of hysterical. And that's, you know, it's Florida man starts, Florida man does it again. I bet that water was cold too, by the way. Hugh boy, oh my gosh. Also, let's see, this, I got a couple of them. We got a guy, Florida man sold fake car insurance policies. That seems like it would be pretty obvious. You know, this guy, he was selling Miami car buyers phony insurance policies. He's been arrested again. He was arrested last January and arrested again last Wednesday. Four additional felony counts because more victims came forward. He pretended to be an insurance agent selling non-existent insurance policies to customers. He's the owner of a business called Gordo's Auto. Kane, sounds totally legit. Yep. And 39-year-old, his name is William Deal Jr., and he acted like an insurance agent. He was already on probation by the time he was doing all of this. But he was selling people these insurance policies. And victims said that they didn't know that they didn't have insurance when they received notices of cancellation for non-payment or driver's license suspensions. That's when they would learn it. And yeah, it looks like, I don't know. It just seems like it would be very sketchy. And the guy looks sketchy. Like he would, you know, he does. He looks like he's up to no good. Like some people have got that look about them. We got a lot more on the way as we roll towards our third hour. Stephen Yates is going to be joining us. We got all the latest Foreign Policy 2024. Stick with us. The folks over at Hillsdale, an actual educational institution. Hillsdale was founded to pursue truth and defend liberty. And founded in 1844, it's a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan. And they've been educating students on the principles of the Republic so as to preserve the Republic. And they have a lot of really awesome things for you available for free on their website, so you don't have to live in southern Michigan to take advantage of any of this. You can go to Dana4hillsdale.com, and you can check out, like, for instance, they have this video of Thomas Jefferson. It's a deep dive into, based on an actual letter that he wrote later in his life where he was reflecting on the drafting of the Declaration of Independence. And they were prolific letter writers, all the founders were, particularly Jefferson. And it's a really fascinating examination of what he thought about how the Republic came to be and where it was to go in this actual, based on an actual letter. So it's a really interesting video. You can access it at Dana4hillsdale.com. And in appreciation, you'll also get a free commemorative copy of the Declaration from Hillsdale to keep or pass on to somebody you know. It's a limited time offer, though, so don't delay. That's Dana4hillsdale.com.
I read the other day that in ideologically divided cases, now I don't know what that means, this last term, that I agreed with Justice Sotomayor, Justice Kagan, and Justice Jackson something like 45% of the time. That's the court I know.
But there are people who watch this right now and say, I thought I understood what Roe versus Wade meant in our country. I thought I understood what affirmative action in college admissions meant. And this court has told me I didn't understand what those things meant, and I wrongly relied on things that I thought were settled. What would you say to those?
I'd say those are deeply complex legal questions on which reasonable minds can, of course, and do disagree. And then when it comes to Roe versus Wade, for example, what did the court decide? Decided that we, the people, should answer that question, not nine people sitting in Washington, D.C.
That was such a great response from Neil Gorsuch there. And he was talking with Major Garrett with CBS. And it was a question they were going back and forth on abortion. And Garrett was saying that, talking about the implication that he was giving was that somehow in the inability for one side to listen to the other is somehow because people who are on the right are solely to blame. And that's in leading up to that, that's what he was intimating. And Gorsuch was like, no, because he also added, you know, and then you have other people say Gorsuch and other justices contribute to that problem, deciding cases on ideology. And then when Gorsuch said that, that's often goes unacknowledged, that sometimes things get up to the Supreme Court, but no, he dissented. And then Garrett brought up abortion and they kind of went back and forth on it. And that's when Gorsuch said, you know, it's a complex legal question and people can disagree on it. And then he kind of asked him, what did the court actually decide about Roe v. Wade? Because that's something that people like Garrett as well like to misrepresent. And they act like, oh, it's a total banning of all this stuff. It didn't ban a single thing. And in every single state that's in the union, there are already codified exceptions for the life of the mother and in cases of incest. That's not what is being debated. And he didn't get into all of that, but he pressed it. I mean, he correctly presented what it actually was. And I just thought it was a very good example of how to, you know, just push back and refute these claims that are made, particularly by these mainstream people. And Major Garrett's been out there for a long time doing this stuff. Welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of this third hour. And there's a lot to discuss as we've been talking a lot about the economy, the nosedive there of the economy, and how the jobs report last week was not helpful, did not help. And we've also been talking about some of the Veep stakes, because Kamala Harris is going to be doing a battleground tour. And then on that tour, she's also going to be bringing her, when she does announce, I guess her VP, she'll be bringing her VP with her. And apparently that's going to be announced tomorrow. So they said that in the next 24 hours, it will be a video announcement at some point. So that's how they're going to do it. That could, I mean, you could have a leak before then if you're going to go about it that way, but I don't really think it matters. Does it matter if they're going to have a leak? I don't know. So remember, the candidates that they have that are standing, you have Tim Walz, who's the governor of Minnesota, who I think is an absolute schmuck. He is a total FUD. Then you've got Josh Shapiro, Pennsylvania, and you have Mark Kelly, who's a senator out of Arizona. Andy Beshear, who is the governor of Kentucky, was also vetted, but I don't think that he's actually, I don't think he's in the total running anymore. And I don't think it's going to be Pete Buttigieg, because he's so unbelievably unaccomplished. It would be like Dumb and Dumber on the ticket. And Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker has so much baggage. I mean, he's the Penguin from Marvel in Democrat candidate form. So there's no way it's not going to happen. They're going to need a governor. And Pennsylvania is a swing state. And that would give her, as I wrote about last week, that gives her a little bit of an insurance policy there. Because your VP ticket is not supposed to be a weight on you. The VP ticket is supposed to be someone who's going to help out your, you know, somebody's going to give you some momentum and somebody who's going to add to your ticket, not detract from your ticket. And I think really ultimately her best picks would be Shapiro or Beshear, because you have two governors, and that kind of insulates her a little bit on some of the accusations on her credibility and her record. Kelly would only bring maybe some kind of border, but I think that then it would further highlight her lack of qualifications per the border. And I think Mark Kelly's too problematic, and he's a senator. But he's given people reason, as we discussed last hour, reason to kind of guess at it because of his post. Josh Shapiro looks like he would be the most obvious, and that's who I think it is going to be, but I still could be wrong. But I am kind of leaning towards it being him, which would be an interesting course correction for Democrats, because they've had a major problem with Jewish Democrat voters because of the Dearborn stand. And there's been a lot of inter-party fighting as a result of that, because Biden and Harris have been very soft. They've been very weak. Giving lip service about Israel defending itself is one thing, and then turning around as a form of policy and demanding that they cease fire when it's them, they would be them cease defense. This is stupid. It's stupid. So we'll see how this happens. But it's supposed to be a video announcement, and it's supposed to come tomorrow. And in the meantime, I really wish the Democrats were hammering Kamalaomics. I wish that you should have ads already out there. Republicans should be all over social media, and they should be hammering this administration, showing the video of her saying, oh, the economy's fine, which we had. Can we play that one more time? Because we've got that. Oh, the economy's fine. Audio Soundbite 17. This was just, you know, recently. She's very proud of Bidenomics. Listen.
All that, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone else, that is called Bidenomics. That is called Bidenomics, and we are very proud of Bidenomics.
Oh, they're very proud of Bidenomics. And then Biden said that he cured the economy just on Friday. Audio Sunday 14, he said this on Friday. The economy's cured, guys.
Cure the economy.
What are you going to call?
And the environment. And a few other small things.
Cure the economy, and I'm going to cure the climate. I'm going to cure these things. Republicans should be hammering. They should be hammering this. But they're not. They need to stop the inner fight and party fighting. They need to stop the Trump v. Brian Kemp stuff. Can I just tell you one quick thing about that real fast? It is so close in Georgia right now. And this is one of the reasons kind of why, you know, especially if you have Harris that picks somebody like Pennsylvania. Georgia is not a solid red state, but it does help that you have some strong Republicans there. The governor there has a 63% approval rating. It's very important. And the state itself, you have to realize, and I was down there on the ground during the special election, and there were a lot of people who just didn't want to go out and vote. Who was that guy? His name I can't even remember, Kane. The dude who was out there telling people to not vote, and I thought, are you a plant against Trump?
You're talking about
Lynn Wood. I thought he was actually, if you told me that Lynn Wood was like a psyop that was trying to work against Trump in Georgia, I would be like, I believe you. I would totally believe you, because he was out there telling people to vote, to not vote, and you had thousands of people who just didn't go up and who just didn't go and vote as a result of this. And that was in a very conservative parts of the state too. 63% approval rating for Kemp. And you've got a lot of Republicans statewide that are very, very popular there. In the 2020 election, you even had Republicans that were pulling in more votes than Trump was. And I explained this phenomena, by the way, using Texas as a model last week. I think it was in 21, I think for that special election, there were like almost half a million Georgian voters that didn't go out to vote. And I will never forget, I was at an event with Victoria Spartz, and there were people telling us that they weren't going to go out and vote because they didn't think it was going to matter. And Spartz was so mad that people were saying this. And she was like, you're just letting Democrats win. I didn't even have to say it. She just lost. She just went off. And she was justifiably, I think, irate. And just trying to get through to people, it does actually matter. It's when the left convinces you that it doesn't, that they rob you. And in 22, there was, there were a lot of accusations about a bad, you know, this was about the bad Senate pick and all this stuff. This was another Senate seat fight. Some of the candidates that Trump had backed in Georgia were actually trailing Kemp in terms of support and votes. And you need to be working with the successful Republicans in that state. These Republicans know their state. They know the lay of the land better than anybody from, any Republican outstate does. And I think that there are some people in the Trump campaign that are advising him that have a huge problem with acknowledging this, because they want to keep, I think they want to be able to make the decisions, and they don't want to have to share any of that control with different kind of state party leaders. But if they know their voters, and look, they want to win too, because a rising tide lifts all ships, right? They want to win too. There needs to be a better relationship between the party, the campaign, and some of these states. You need to be able to lean on these successful Republicans in these states. I mean, you had, again, in 2021, you had almost half a million voters who were registered voters who did not show up in a very important special election, show up and keep the Senate. They didn't do it. And so this picking fights with successful Republicans in states that are purple is not the way to do it. It has to be all hands on deck, and everybody's got to be in. And by the way, in Georgia, from what I understand, Harris is like spending almost 3-1 what Trump is in Georgia for media buys and ground game offenses, all of that. So she's in Georgia telling voters who she is, and Trump is fighting with other Republicans in Georgia. You cannot be doing this, because he got into it with Brian Kemp. He was at a rally in Atlanta. That's what I'm referring to. I had friends of mine that were texting me and calling me, and they were very mad about it. And I'm just not dealing with it over the weekend. I'm like, I'm not. I'll talk about this Monday. It doesn't help the Trump campaign to pick unnecessary fights, because the media is going to, they're already defining who she is. They are already ahead of the Republican Party in defining Kamala Harris and selling her to voters. And remember, all this is done in the margins. They are going to run her as a moderate candidate despite the truth, and Republicans are going to keep stepping on their own feet. If Republicans get in their own way of losing this election, Katie, bar the damn door. We've got to be singular in focus here. So we need to not be picking fights with people. Instead, we need to be working with people and figuring out, okay, you got a 63% approval rating in this state. How'd you make that happen? What can we do to translate that into presidential approval too? How do we do that? That's what needs, those are the conversations that need to be happening. Because if she picks somebody like Josh Shapiro, she's going to have a guy from Pennsylvania, a state where Trump and Harris are tied. They're tied. That's a swing state. And if she picks a VP from a swing state, what do you think that's going to do? I mean, we've got to be all hands on deck with this. We have more on the way. We got headlines coming up as we roll towards the bottom of this third hour. Burnigan. Now look, oh, I get it. I'm right with you. I'd love to be able to take my 9mm and, you know, everything I have, a full armory everywhere I go. It'd be great. But we have gun-free zones, and we have, you know, some states aren't as friendly or don't pay attention to reciprocity as they should. And I don't want to be left defenseless. You know, I was telling you about, I have a friend who lives and works in D.C., and she got her very difficult to get concealed carry there. But by nature of how she has to work to make a living, she has to live and work in D.C. And so when she goes into places that have their stupid do nothing gun-free zone signs, she carries a Byrna gun. She actually got it just like a couple of months ago. It's the Byrna SD is the model she chose, and it's the most popular model that they have. It is a non-firearm firearm that gives a one-finger salute to the gun-free zone signs. There's no waiting period. There's no background check. It's legal in all 50 states, and it shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. Now, there's a ton of different models, and they have different colors and different projectiles and accessories. You can go and customize it however you see fit, but it's always good to have diverse options and make sure that you are covered every which way for any kind of situation. And so you can visit Byrna.com/Dana and you can get 10% off of your purchase. Check out all of your options at Byrna.com, Byrna/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh, Gen Z. So they said if you wear a specific type of shoe when you go out now, then that means you're apparently old, according to Gen Z, who are apparently fighting with millennials about footwear, too. And Gen X are just sitting here watching everybody hate each other. So it's any kind of flat shoe. So if you're wearing a flat tennis shoe, even if it's like a designer shoe or a really like fancy tennis shoe, nope. They said it absolutely, nope. And you can't, no. Can't do it. Not supposed to do that. Shut up. People let people wear what they want to wear. Just to be quiet. So dumb. Also, what? It's described as a bizarre hair-licking incident at an Arbor Place mall in Michigan where a dude was arrested because a 35-year-old, he was licking the hair of an 18-year-old woman that he didn't know. He would come up, and apparently not just her, he was going up behind women licking their hair on their head. That's disgusting. That's how lice spreads. That's nasty. Let's see. 70 centenarians broke the world record in Italy by gathering all together. And they got a big old cake, too. 100 years old. 70 people who are at least 100 years old attended this year's event, breaking a Guinness World Record. There's like Guinness World Records for everything. Is it that impressive anymore? I mean, because you can just make up a feat for anything, right? Isn't that true?
Yeah.
I don't know, like anything. Make up something. I bet I could eat 5,000, but I could eat a record number amount of honeycomb cereals boxes in like, I don't know, like a day. I don't know. Don't stop it. I'm just like throwing out how goofy it is. But they said that they have annual gatherings of centenarians in this part of Italy for 15 years. It's been steadily growing, so they broke a world record. And an American Airlines passenger was arrested after trying to open the airline doors in flight. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're tired of American Airlines. It's nonsense. No, this person was indicted, federal charges, because they tried to open it multiple occasions. Stick with us. Stephen Yates is up next. Turbocharging your metabolism has never been simpler thanks to the innovative handheld metabolic coach Lumen. This revolutionary device empowers you to optimize your metabolism efficiently and effortlessly. And with Lumen, you can master the strategies to keep your metabolism humming at its best. Now, Lumen is a breath-based metabolic tracker. You breathe into the Lumen at the start of your day to get a metabolism snapshot and a personalized nutrition plan. And then the app tells you if you're burning fat or carbs. You can get customized tips for nutrition, workouts, sleep, stress. Lumen helps you to know with real data what your body needs. Now, your metabolism is your body's rocket engine. It powers everything that you do. And with Lumen, you can expect easier weight management, balanced energy, fitness gains, and find it easier to go to sleep. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, visit lumen.me/Dana Show and get 15% off of your Lumen. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. One word for 15% off your purchase. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. And thanks to Lumen for sponsoring this episode.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this third hour. And don't forget, you can listen coast to coast, channel 347, DirecTV as well. You can also find us on Rumble. We're on X, YouTube. The discussion takes place daily over at Rumble and Substack. Yeah, Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. Go sign up. We're getting our good friend Stephen Yates on deck here momentarily. We had a couple technical issues in the background, so we're getting him up. And one of the things I was going to ask him about, because, you know, it's been Bread and Circus 2024, is the way in which one entity, one country, is being represented in the games. And you might have seen it. In fact, one of the fighters that was involved in the gender thing with boxing, they keep saying this phrase, Chinese Taipei. And I'm remember hearing, I'm like, wait a minute, but Taipei is in Taiwan, but it's Chinese Taipei. And this is how they're represented. They're represented like this at the Olympics. And when they go and they win medals, they don't win medals as Taiwan. They win medals as Chinese Taipei, which makes me wonder, I guess, if China, I guess China gets the medals. I don't know. And this is because it's Taiwan with athletes that want to participate in the Olympics, but they can't run afoul of objections from China. So as not to upset the one China principle, they say Chinese Taipei. It is the weirdest thing. And it's supposed to be like deliberately vague. It's so weird. And I wanted to ask our friend about this. I think we have him on the phone now, our good friend Stephen Yates, and you can find him at YatesComms on X, and he's senior fellow at America First Policy Institute and chair of the China Policy Initiative. Stephen, always a pleasure to have you. Let clear things up for us about, okay, so the Chinese Taipei stuff, because I haven't really been watching the Bread and Circuses, but I have seen, you know, some of these people, they get their medals and it's Chinese Taipei. And I'm like, but that's Taiwan. It's such pageantry so as to not offend China. If they had gone out, so I guess, does China get their medals?
Well, Dana, the Chinese don't get their medals, but it just think of working your whole life and finally meeting the pinnacle of your career. They just did it in badminton, of all things. I always thought of badminton as a backyard sport, but these people are super serious, and they would destroy me in like 2 seconds flat. They, in the gold medal match, play China, big red China. They beat them. Here's the oppressors that want to obliterate them. won't even let them say their name. They get to the top of the podium, and the oppressors won't let them identify by their real name, don't get to look at their real flag, don't get to hear their national anthem. And their fans, if they hold up anything that says Taiwan on it, some Chinese Red Guard nitwits go and tear their stuff away from them, with the Olympics officials letting it happen.
Wow. And the Olympics, that's, I think that's key, that the officials allow for it to happen. And I know that I've seen like some of the, you know, some of the ceremony from, so they're not even, I mean, they can't, they can't have any Taiwanese anything. Otherwise they, like, what would they, get kicked out of competition if they tried, walking off in like some kind of like Taiwanese flag on their uniform?
Absolutely. They have to abide by these rules or they are not allowed to participate in the Olympics, because the International Olympic Committee bowed to the big red emperor. And so that's just the way it's going to be, because they'd like to cash that big payola with having the Olympics in China every few years. And so this is what they make us do. Now, just imagine if they made it so that there was, like, say, the famous two-state solution, and every time they got up on the podium, it had to be Israeli and pick your city. And someone wasn't even from that city, but they got to stand there and make the pretense they're not from where they're from. So this is just kind of the madness that I think low IQ people make others have to submit to because of power or lust for money or whatever you want to pick from the seven deadly sins. And
right.
I hate it because I know what I've lived it. But just think of it. I mean, there are people in Taiwan that are not Chinese. There are Aboriginals.
Yeah.
Some of them are dang good athletes. And so here they are. They're Aboriginal. They're not Chinese. And they're not from Taipei. And they win a medal, and they got to go through this madness. I mean, it's just so crazy that the Olympics would do this. We have the iconic fist in the air right at Hitler's face. It's one of those things where you think the Olympics is about human rights and overcoming this stuff.
Yeah, and talking with our friend Stephen Yates, he's joining us on the phone, because they won the first gold medals that were given went to Taiwan. And the fact that you immediately have to start the whole entire, you know, the games, the first golds, the first medals go to Taiwan. You have to identify them as Chinese Taipei. And from what I understand, there's something that's different about the anthem as well. So they have to play some kind of manufactured anthem.
Correct. It's not their national anthem, not their national flag, not their national name, not their national colors. It's just all
insane.
Whitewash across the board. Yeah.
Why do we even participate in this? It's bread and circuses. Why do we even participate in this? Especially, I was actually kind of shocked, I have to tell you, because one of the boxers that was caught up in all the gender debate, you know, testing as a male and then competing as a female, was from Chinese Taipei. And I didn't think that the communist Chinese appreciated, like, I didn't think that they would go for that kind of stuff. That took me a little bit by surprise.
The Chinese communists are heavy into doping. They don't mind that. All kinds of drug-enhanced performance and everything else. But Taiwan is actually pretty cutting edge when it comes to all things gender and rainbows and things like that. As Seinfeld said, not that there's anything wrong with that, but they're all over the place on that stuff. I mean, I feel bad about the boxer taking such prominence, because this whole thing is just so insane. I mean, if people want to identify a certain way, it's one thing. But if you want a genetic man to beat a genetic woman in the face, that's a whole different ball of wax. And I don't know how anybody in the name of human rights, tolerance, dignity, whatever, is there. And Taiwan is not in good company for that.
I wanted to ask, this still has to do with China, and this now it'll be espionage, but in light of the attempted entry to one of our bases, one of our Marine bases, by these, you know, these illegal immigrants coming in from the Middle East, and they were trying to say it was an Amazon delivery. There's James Cone over at Government Accountability Office. They want to look at how the DOJ is investigating foreign nationals that are being sent to spy on U.S. soil. And it's the House Oversight Committee. And they were saying that Chinese nationals, apparently, like, I didn't realize it's been 100 times in like the recent couple of years. Chinese nationals posing as tourists and food delivery drivers to access U.S. military bases and other sensitive government facilities. They're saying it's been as often as 100 incidents in just recent years. That is insane. And now we have like, what is it? These Jordanian terrorists. This is, I mean, crazy that it happens this often and that there hasn't been an investigation into it to see why does this keep happening?
Well, it's stunning. And then at the same time, it can't be stunning. I mean, after all, we've just had public confirmation from one of the oversight committees where Homeland Security admits that 99 or so terrorism watch list illegal migrants came in and stayed in the United States. And so, I mean, if we're literally letting terrorists we know about stay in the United States, why wouldn't Chinese illegal immigrants and otherwise just go ahead and say, try to walk on the bases? Why not? I mean, Americans apparently are very, very permissive of almost anything right now.
Yeah. One last quick thing. Washington Post says Taiwan is readying citizens for a Chinese invasion. It's not going well. You know, we're getting ready to go in a very, well, we're in a very difficult political period, and we've had some major shakeups on the Democrat side of things. We're neck and neck in a number of states, particularly swing states. November is not guaranteed, nor is it secure. This would be a great time, I think, that, you know, if China could see, you know, all hell breaking loose, if they wanted to make a move on Taiwan. If I were them, I would be doing it while the U.S. is in disarray. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, it's sort of two minds territory, which is an unsatisfactory answer. But basically, the Chinese would be completely irrational to go for a full-on invasion. But they don't have to do that. They can cause a lot of trouble and seek a lot of advantage. And this is a window of opportunity. Americans are witnessing firsthand. We literally don't have anyone in charge of the border, of the economy, of national security generally. If you're a bad person in the world, of course, this is a time when you look to push some limits, and Taiwan has to feel vulnerable in that regard. They have planned, they have prepared, but can't stand up to China by themselves. So there's a lot happening out there. It's not as bad as it might seem at first blush, but definitely in a period of high risk for the next 6 months.
Are we now looking at the other side of the world, talking with our friend Stephen Yates? I'm sure he loves coming on right after there's all kinds of like craziness happening, you know, with foreign policy, military, etc. We're switching out the carrier strike groups over in the Mediterranean, over near the Middle East. We're bringing the Roosevelt carrier group home. We're sending out the USS Abraham Lincoln, and apparently Lloyd Austin's sending out a few more fighters. All of that to bolster our presence. Now that Iran has threatened a retaliatory strike against, you know, that they're going to hit Israel back, even though they've been funding Hezbollah and Hamas, which have been doing all this in the first place. I don't even think that's retaliatory. What is this signal to you? I mean, are we going to be in a war with Iran? Is that where this is all going? And if we are, where are the Saudis? Don't they hate Iran? Why can't they do something?
Well, Saudis do hate Iran and vice versa. There is a sort of struggle for mastery in that area between two very different civilizations. But the United States definitely should be urging others to do more. And I would be very heavy on that kind of argument if the United States had been a bit more reliable as a partner in this. As in, why if the United States would sell things to people that we would like to take up more of this load, then maybe don't jawbone them to death in the face of other bigger adversaries. There are a lot of people who are not saints out in the world, but they might balance against true, deeper evil. Let's let those hounds loose so that Americans don't have to be on the front line of that. But for now, America seems to be flooding deterrent into that zone. For now, it seems as though Iran might be deterred. But this is a day-to-day watch, in my view. I'd say if they don't hit in the next 48 hours, then I think we take that as they're deterred for the time being because Israel's shown seriousness and the United States has added some deterrent to the area. But that's not a long-term strategy. That's short-term tactics.
Short-term tactics, indeed. And we're watching a Democrat candidate who can't even pick a vice president, much less put a decent team together, barrel towards November. We're in terrifying times. Stephen Yates, I always appreciate you being where you are and doing what you're doing and kind of bringing us back to earth from the edge of the from the edge of the cliff here. We appreciate it. Thank you, my friend. Sorry about the technical difficulties here.
No problem. Thank you so much, Dana. Take care.
Take care. Mm-hmm. You can find Stephen at YatesComms on X. YatesComms, two M's on X. And he's got a lot of really good insight up there. We have Today's Stupidity on the way as we roll towards the conclusion of this third hour. Brought to you by our very good friends over at Kel-Tec. The P15, if you don't have it, you should, because it's extra. It's a really cool striker fire pistol. I have the metal and the polymer version. The metal version's, I mean, I like the polymer version. I'm not saying anything bad about it. Some people might prefer it, but the metal version with those wood grips just looks super classy. It's very classy. It's a James Bond gun. Tritium fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic, 2-dot rear. You got that striker fire reliability, great pull. Great trigger pull, lifetime warranty. It's compact. I mean, these people, the Kel-Tec invented the micro compact pistol category, and all of their stuff, including the 9mm P15, all made right here in the US of A. And it's the thinnest double stack 9mm that you can get. And you've got the stopping power, but you don't have the bulk, which is one of the reasons why I really, really like it. It's a great concealed carry gun and made with American materials by American workers. So innovation, performance, and Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. It's their 9mm P15. Take it to the range today. Tell them Dana sent you. KelTecWeapons.com.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was noting to Kane, it's very interesting because there was a little back and forth between Nate Silver and 538. And you guys, if you remember Nate Silver from back, you know, I mean, when he used to, 538 was his, but he took his polling model with him when he left. But he's apparently been critical of the way that 538 has been handling a lot of this stuff, including their suspension of the model after Biden dropped out and they were waiting to put up, you know, a new forecast with Harris and Trump. And he's saying it's because probably because the data showed that Harris wasn't doing very well and they're waiting, you know, until she gets like a bump or something so that they can put it up and it can look a little bit better, which, you know, I don't doubt it. I think that they want it to be a hell of a lot closer than it makes you. That's why I'm always like, you got to question the polling, but the polling cannot be super wrong in so many respects, because back in 2020, we were told that there was going to be a red wave and there wasn't. But the polling didn't really forecast that, though. If you remember, there were some pollsters that did, but I was really questioning their methodology with that. But Silver's been saying that it's weird that they have not put it up entirely. And also, he's saying what a lot of other forecasters have said, and that this is going to be very close. And I've told you before, like with Pennsylvania, they're neck and neck. Georgia, they're neck and neck. These are swing states, and you can't be going in and lighting things on fire in a swing state where you need to work with the Republican Party there, especially when the head of the party there has 63% approval rating. Or in Pennsylvania, you need to be really working Pennsylvania, especially since, you know, he's got a senator from Ohio. This is one of the reasons I was kind of like hoping, you know, I was looking at a Youngkin or a Kemp from Georgia or Virginia strictly because I want to win. You can't cement a legacy if you can't win an election. So you've got to win the election. So if the VP, as I told you, the VP announcement is supposed to come tomorrow by way of video. And then she's embarking on a swing state tour. And I think J.D. Vance is actually going to be in the exact same states that she is going to be, but she's going to go with her VP pick. And it could be anybody from Josh Shapiro from Pennsylvania. It could be Mark Kelly, the senator out of Arizona, which I think would be a dumber pick. Maybe Andy Beshear out of Kentucky, but I think less likely Tim Walz, Minnesota. I think he's kind of a FUD and he just sounds dopey. He's not eloquent. You need someone who has a great command of narrative and can speak well. And I don't think that Walz is it. I think Mark Kelly has too much baggage. Andy Beshear is a little, I don't know, it's Kentucky, you know, so I don't think that they stand anything to gain from that. I think their best bet is Pennsylvania because it helps to shore up their position in Pennsylvania where they're tied within the margin of error with Trump. That's going to come tomorrow. We'll have all the latest with that today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right. It is Nancy Pelosi. She is, she's drunkard of the house. She's the one that is saying these very words right here. Listen to what she says.
So he was in a good place to make whatever decision, the top of his game.
He's talking about
such
Biden.
A consequential president of the United States, a Mount Rushmore kind of president of the United
what?
States.
What?
Want
you
to
really
know what?
Yeah, so Nancy Pelosi believes Biden.
She says that because she's so glad that he's out.
Well,
that's
Rushmore.
Like, yeah, that's like she's just so happy that he's out. She sounds drunk, but it's just really too much of the ice cream she's had. She's on a sugar high. We'll keep you updated with everything, folks. Make sure you sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, like and subscribe. Back behind the mic with you tomorrow.